We'll listen to Ronnie. Ronnie remembers.
Oh,
I'm Ronnie Allen. Today's guest of honor is a singer who first appeared on the Merv Griffin TV show at the age of 12, and that was back in 1967. Since that auspicious beginning, she's done dozens more TV shows. Over the last 46 years, she's thrilled audiences with her recordings and her appearances in her own cabaret shows, showrooms, and also symphonic halls. Oh, Julie, indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, are you there, drummer? It is my pleasure to say, welcome to the show, Julie Budd.
How are you, Ronnie?
I'm doing just fine, Julie. And before we get started with our exciting musical adventure, I want to thank the Crescendos for helping me to introduce you with their great 1958 hit called Oh Julie. And by the way, the distinctive female voice on that record was 16-year-old Janice Green, who wasn't a member of the group, but happened to be at the right place at the right time. Julie, when you were a little girl, did you dream about being a professional singer? I'm talking about before you, let's say, were even 10 years old.
Sure. I always knew that I was going to have a life in the arts. It wasn't surprising to me that it happened. What was more surprising to me was, you know, that it happened as quickly as it happened. Now, I thought maybe it would be something that would happen after college or after high school.
I see.
You know, when I was a little bit older. But you never know. An opportunity knocks, and you believe it's your fate. You're going to seize that opportunity. If you really want to do it.
When you were really, really young, what singers, and I assume they were primarily female singers, influenced you back then?
Well, I liked some male singers, too. I always loved Tony Bennett, especially in his young years. He had a really, really flexible voice, and I thought he was just tremendous. There was a great drama to his voice.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you who I absolutely loved, and I'll tell you how I came to love her so much. I loved Julie Andrews.
The other Julie.
Yeah, the other Julie. I really did love her because, well, I'll tell you, my mother, God rest her soul, she was a brilliant singer. My mother sang on radio as a child. But my mother really didn't have the personality to be in show business. You know, it's more than talent. You have to be able to live this life, and you know that's true. It's not for everyone. Talent is not enough, unfortunately. You really have to be a person, you know, who could live this life, and it's not an easy one. My mother was not that person. My mother was loaded with talent. She thought she was going to have a full-time life in the arts, but I think my mother realized she was not that personality for it. But my mother saw it in me, and
mm-hmm.
every Saturday night, she and my dad used to go out and see another musical, and, you know, it was a great time for musical. My mother always brought me back the original cast albums.
Mm-hmm.
My mother brought me back the cast album to My Fair Lady. She brought me the cast album to, you know, Sound of Music with Mary Martin at the time. My mother brought me cast album to Cinderella. I really, really, really loved Julie Andrews. And one of the reasons, too, is when I was a child, I had a really, really high coloratura voice. And when I sang with Julie Andrews, it was a very musical and comfortable place for me. And I loved everything about her. I loved her musical sensibility. She was really the first female vocalist that I was, you know, seriously exposed to. And it's funny, with the way I sing today and my choices, I don't know if somebody would have thought that that would have been my first influence, but it really was.
Did you ever meet Julie Andrews?
No. You know, it's funny. I worked with everybody in the business that you can think of. In fact, I worked with one of her best friends, Carol Burnett, but I never met Julie.
I'm Ronnie Allen talking to Julie Budd, and Julie, we're going to listen to portions of three of your earlier records. Before we do that, you were in a talent contest at the age of 12. It was in the Catskills?
That was in Tamarack Lodge.
Do you remember what song you sang?
I sang two songs. I sang Moon River, and I sang Who Can I Turn To. And you want to know the kooky thing? Who Can I Turn To is on my newly medley, on my new CD, they wrote the song.
And we're going to close with that.
Really? So we're going to go full circle?
Yep, Julie, we sure are. So you won this contest at the age of 12, and around that time you met the man who would shortly become your songwriter, arranger, producer, conductor, a man by the name of Herb Bernstein.
He saw me sing that night, but I was following him around for 2 days before the concert to make sure that he was going to be there. So I really met Herbie 2 days
okay,
before.
Okay, you knew who he was because he was a...
No. The social director, Vic Minow, told me who he was.
Oh, okay. Very good.
And that's why I was running after him, to make sure that he came to the show. You know, when I walked off stage, he was standing right there.
And he started working with you pretty soon. In fact, your very first single was a song co-written by Herb and also Bud Rehak, who in turn co-wrote Diane Renee's big hit, Navy Blue. During the show, we're not going to play entire versions of the songs. We're going to play portions so that we can sample a lot of them. And right now, here's a portion of your very first record, Yesterday's Sunshine.
When a rough tide world gets down, turned off people, painted gray, we can trade a dark tomorrow for a golden
Yesterday's Sunshine, and Julie Budd sang it, and she's here with me. A nice little song.
It's adorable, and it was appropriate at that time, you know.
Yeah,
for,
right, exactly.
I was 12 years old.
In 1968, he released a record called All's Quiet on West 23rd. It was your version of a song originally done by a group called the Jetstream. I didn't find out until much later that the record was really inspired by a tragic event that had occurred 4 years earlier, which was the killing of Kitty Genovese in 1964.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, before I play a little bit of this recording, which has to do with people witnessing something going on and not doing anything, is that the best way to put it? In other words, to stop it, people didn't take the action that maybe...
Well, that is what the record is about, but what's interesting is when they wrote it like a play. They wrote it like a script.
Yes.
You know, Officer Warner, he's around the corner. They give you a sense of, you know, it was just a sleepy little town, you know,
yeah.
This little place, you know, and this guy just crossed the street, and it was early evening, and people were coming home from work, and then this thing happened.
I know.
And this is the way people reacted. And it was just, it was interesting because that was just when, you know, crime in New York started to get really bad. And we had that for almost 2 decades in New York, where it was really bad in New York. And then all of a sudden, it turned around and it got a lot better. But between, like, the mid-60s until, like, the very early 80s, it was really dangerous. Social comment. It was filled with social commentary.
Oh, absolutely. All's Quiet on West 23rd.
Thank you.
when you released that record, did you personally have any reservations about it because of the sensitivity of the subject matter?
Not at all. Not for 1 minute. I was very actually excited by the fact that we were doing something that said something.
Right around that time, Phil Oakes wrote a similar type of a song, although the tempo was very, very different, Outside of a Small Circle of Friends, which was basically about the same kind of thing, that people don't want to get involved with things. I am Ronnie Allen. I am talking to Julie Budd. In 1976, Julie, you released a song that made the Billboard Hot 100, a familiar song originally done by the Chiffons as their follow-up to their number one hit, He's So Fine. The song was One Fine Day, written by Jerry Goffin, who sadly passed away recently.
Yeah.
And
Carole King.
And Carole King. Now, your version of the song came out on Tomcat Records.
Did you know, though, that this was a very big hit in the discos? It was like top 10 in the discos.
I did not know that, and I'm glad you volunteered that.
Yeah.
But I have one question before I play it. On the label, your name is listed simply as Julie.
That's right.
What happened to Bud?
You know, it was a weird story. When I had just left RCA at the time,
okay,
which I really didn't want to do. I really liked that label, but I don't know, things were changing and we wound up leaving RCA.
You had some records on RCA between All's Quiet and this one?
Right. I was on RCA. As a matter of fact, one of the songs, See You in September and Don't Take Your Love Away From Me,
right,
was a big hit in Argentina, in South
wow.
America. In fact, when I'm on Facebook now, I still get emails from my friends from Argentina, fans and friends from Argentina, and I couldn't go. It was weird. RCA wanted me to go to Argentina to do a tour, and I couldn't go because there was some sort of coup or upset in the country or something.
Right.
And they could not guarantee my safety if I went to Argentina at that time. Wouldn't you know, I finally get a hit record and I can't go to the country to do a tour. I mean,
yeah,
tell me about timing, right?
Yeah.
And I wound up not going to Argentina.
But you stayed with RCA after that, right?
I stayed for a while and I did a couple of soundtracks for them. One of them was the sequel to Born Free called Living Free. And I wound up doing that. And I was on RCA for a while. Then I went to England and recorded part of the whole Don't Take Your Love Away From Me. Now,
right,
that was from a recording I did with Tony Hatch in England. I did an entire album with Tony Hatch, who produced all of the Pet Claw kids. And I worked with Tony, and we did a great album. And then, I don't know, I went the distance with RCA. Now disco started to be the big thing. And I wound up on Tom Catalano's label called Tomcat.
Tomcat, but only as Julie.
Only as Julie, and I'll tell you what happened there. I was known primarily as really a good music artist, and now I was moving into a sort of disco-esque feel, and Tom was worried that DJs weren't going to play it if it said Julie Budd. Yeah, I mean, it was like a crazy thing, so he just put the name Julie on it. Well, what happened was we wound up being top 10 in the discos, and then I had a nationally charted record with it as well as a pop hit.
You will know I love you.
one fine day, Julie Bud. But the Bud was not on the label, but Julie there, and I'm Ronnie, and you could mention Alan if you want, Ronnie Allen, and we are moving right along now to the TV shows you were on, and I probably should ask you which ones weren't you on, because you were on so many, including the Merv Griffin Show, what, about 40 times?
Oh, I can't even remember. I mean, I was on Merv's show every week, and especially when Merv was here in New York.
Right.
I was always on that show.
So Merv actually discovered you after Herb Bernstein discovered you.
Right. Well, what happened was Herbie was recording Merv. You know, Herbie was recording Laura Nero and the Four Seasons.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And John Denver and Tina Turner. Herbie had a lot of hit records.
Yes,
with
did.
A group called The Happenings and The Cowsills. And I mean, all the Laura Nero, those first hits that she was really based her career on, Herbie produced and arranged all those records.
Norma Tanega, too, walking my cat named dog.
Well, what happened was Herbie was recording Merv. Merv wanted to do an album. So we called Herbie, and Herbie brought me down to the session, and that's where I met Merv. And like 2-3 days later, I wound up on television.
Wow, just like that. And
well, you know what was weird about that is I was just a little girl of 12 years old.
Oh, my
And I had never done anything before, really. And there I was. My life immediately changed. I mean, within 2 or 3 days, I was on national television.
Were you nervous?
You know, yes and no. I mean, I was nervous. I mean, there was a sense of excitement. There was a sense of my life was really beginning. Young as I was, I knew very clearly that this was the beginning of my life.
Your TV shows, in addition to Merv's, some of them anyway, The Ed Sullivan Show, The Tonight Show, The Kraft Music Hall, Carol Burnett Show, and you mentioned Carol.
Mike Douglas.
Entertainment Tonight's another one you did. Probably
Jim Nabors.
Jim Nabors, yeah, old Gomer Pyle there. And Jim, a fantastic singer.
And a nice man, Ron.
And a nice man, too. I feel so bad that he's not going to be singing back home in Indiana anymore at the Indy 500. He retired from that this year. You've been the opening act for so many legendary performers, and some of them include Frank Sinatra, Bob Hope, Bill Cosby, George Burns, and Liberace.
Yeah, I toured with Liberace. I went to Europe with Liberace. We played the London Palladium. I mean, he was a wonderful friend. I'll tell you one thing about Lee. If Lee loved you, he was your friend forever.
Did he actually, during any of these shows, play piano for you on any of the numbers?
All the time. All the time.
Wow.
I mean, Herbie conducted and Lee played. I mean, we had a wonderful time. I will never forget those years.
Now, this is something truly unique, and we're going to get to listening to some of your adult recordings, the first three that were kind of early in your career. You've gone on to do classics and show tunes, and we're going to sample so many of them. I want to mention that this is truly unique. You have, I believe, what you call 15 different theme shows, and this is these days, fully scored and fully orchestrated. I don't have to ask who does most of the scoring in the orchestrating.
Herbie does, but I bring a lot of these shows to the symphonies and the Performing Arts Center.
Now, you could do a show consisting of showstoppers, or a totally different show, The Great American Songbook, or a totally different show, a Richard Rodgers tribute, or a different one to Gershwin and Moore, An Evening with Julie Budd. I assume there's very little duplication of songs from show to show.
You have to have different songs, Ronnie, because when you repeat, when you go back, let's say, to another season of the same orchestra, you know, you have to bring them a different show. And also, you know, Ronnie, I've been accumulating music since I'm 12 years old. So, you know, I have a library that's huge.
Is that accurate? It's 15 different theme shows? In other words,
I have even more now, because now I have a show called They Wrote the Songs, which is, you know, directly related.
Yeah.
Exactly. And what that's about is nothing on that CD was written before 1960. It's the writers of our generation.
Before we play sample selections from four different albums, and of course these days we call them CDs, please tell us about your website.
Well, my website is beautiful. It's brand new, and there's a lot of interactive stuff on my website, which is kind of nice. You can click here and click there and see videos, and you can leave messages, and then I chat with you on it. And then you could also click right away, and you could read reviews, and then on the bottom of the review, you can pick which song you want to hear. There's discographies. There's a film, actually, that's about 10 minutes long, which is kind of a synopsis of my career. I mean, There's a lot of stuff on the website. Plus, you could see where I'm performing.
And we left one thing out. What is the website called?
Called juliebud.com.
Okay. Well, I didn't want to assume that because most of the time it's
sure.
.com, but there's dot other things, too. juliebud.com. And you have a Facebook page as well?
Yeah, and a lot of my fans speak to me directly on Facebook. And all you have to do is just go to Facebook, plug in my name, and it'll take you to my page.
You're going to be working on a regular basis at a place in New York City beginning next year. The place is called the Metropolitan Room.
Yes, I've just been asked to be their guest artist in residence, and I'll be there about 4 or 5 times a year.
Fantastic.
It's a beautiful venue.
And before we get to the music that everybody wants to hear, I want to mention a couple more things. You've done stage and screen. You appeared in They're Playing Our Song.
I was in North Shore Theater right outside Boston. A beautiful, beautiful theater called the North Shore Theater. And then, it's funny, you know, because that's Marvin Hamlisch music.
Right.
And then I wound up doing a film for Disney, and that was Marvin Hamlisch music.
Yeah.
And then I wound up going on the road with Marvin doing symphonies for 7 years.
Is that where the symphonies basically were done with Marvin?
No, not all of them. Not all of them.
Some of them were with Herb?
Well, they're always with Herbie and Marvin. But a lot of the symphonies that I did were where I just went as guest artist on my own.
Oh, I see.
And then a lot of them were done when I was guest artist with Marvin, because Marvin was principal pops conductor for 8 orchestras.
You had a Disney connection, speaking of a certain film in 1981, co-starring with Elliot Gould and Bill Cosby. And what was the film?
The Devil and Max Devlin.
What were the 2 songs you sang in that film?
Well, the big song was Roses and Rainbows, which I wound up re-recording again on a CD called The New Classics. The whole basis of that CD was because my fans kept asking me for Roses and Rainbows. They could not find the version that I did on A&M Records with Marvin.
I see.
And they were asking me, and years were going by, and finally I said, you know, I really have to record this for the fans.
There was another song that you did in the film.
Any Fool Can See. He wrote that with Allie Willis. Allie's a great writer.
I'm Ronnie Allen, so pleased to be walking down memory lane with the dynamic and versatile Julie Budd. And hang on a second, Julie, I think there's somebody on the phone. Mystery Man, are you there?
I'm here.
Now, Julie, do you have any idea who that mystery man is?
Well, I know that voice for a long time.
You're not going to pretend you have not a clue to who it is, I guess.
No, no, this one I know.
Ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Herb Bernstein. And Herb, you are a producer and arranger supremo. You've worked with Miss Budd for somewhere around 48 years. I think you told me it's been a handshake agreement.
That's correct.
Well, I have to say, Herb, that's got to be a really long handshake. You could let go of her hand now. What was it about Julie that made you say, I really want to work with this girl?
Well, it wasn't that easy because when I met her, I wasn't interested at all. I think she was well, I'll tell you why. She was 12 years old, and I knew how difficult it would be to try and break someone in this business at that age, because all the nightclubs had restrictions where they couldn't work. Recording would be tougher. So I wasn't that anxious to get involved, and a lot of people were bugging me, oh, you got to hear this kid, and she was chasing me around the ball court and everything.
That's right, you are a basketball player, we got to remember that. Right.
Yeah, I was a total jock, right. You know.
Julie and I discussed the fact that at the age of 12, in the Catskills, she was in a talent contest. I think that's where you saw her first, is that correct?
That's correct. Well, of course, I knew her from the hotel being around, and I talked to her, but I never heard her sing. She went on this talent contest, and it was just unbelievable. It was just beyond belief. She got up there, took the mic, you know, like she was an absolute pro, and sang. I think it was Who Can I Turn To? Moon River. I couldn't believe what I heard and saw. You know, she was such a pro, and she didn't have that little kiddie voice. That's what really enticed me. You know, she sounded like a pro, you know, and maybe 19, 20. You know, she didn't sound like a kid. And it was great. So I got very enthusiastic.
And as a result, Herb, in spite of your initial reservations about working with someone so young, you decided to do it anyway. And in fact, you wrote the song that became her first single, which we heard earlier in the show.
Yesterday's Sunshine.
Yesterday's Sunshine, written by you and Bud Rehak.
Right.
Julie is absolutely speechless right now. I could just imagine. She's just sitting and taking all of this in. We're going to be sampling songs from four of her CDs, namely Pure Imagination, If You Could See Me Now, New Classics, and her current one, They Wrote the Songs. Did you produce and do arrangements on all four of those CDs?
Yeah, I did. On Pure Imagination, I used a couple of other arrangers on there. I produced it. However, Peter Moore and Don Sebesky wrote some arrangements on Pure Imagination.
Okay. The point you're trying to make, Herb, is that on Pure Imagination, you are not the lone arranger. Say goodnight, Ronnie. I know. I want to remind people that you and I did an interview a few years ago. It's on the Jersey Girl Sing website, and it's in the same place that's going to be the home of this interview show with Julie Budd. Thank you so much for calling in. And Julie, you have five words you want to say to her before we move on?
I love you, Herbie Bernstein. That's five, isn't
that's
it?
That's exactly five. And we did not rehearse that. I want you to know.
Bye, Julie. Okay.
Bye, Herbie. I'll talk to you later.
Wasn't that great? Herb participating in this show.
Herbie is wonderful. He's a real gift. I mean, right. He can do a lot of things, and he does them all really, really well.
We have four different CDs, and I picked out several songs. If I ever do another show with you, I might pick out different songs, but this
sure.
is a representative sample. I want to point out that those of you who want to sample all of the songs on the four CDs can do so by visiting the juliebud.com website. And the first one is Pure Imagination. If I Were a Bell was from a super successful show and a big movie as well, Words and Music by Frank Lesser, talking about guys and dolls, and you did If I Were a Bell as a duet.
That was a duet with Billy Stritch, and that was Herbie's idea to have a duet on the CD, and we called Billy and we asked him to come in. You know, me, Billy, and Ann Hampton Calloway, at that time, we were all on the same record label. It was called After Nine, Touchwood. So it was kind of like this sort of in-house thing that we did.
Ask me how do I feel, ask me now that we're cozy and clinging. Well, sure, all I could say is if I were a bell, I'd be ringing. The moment we kiss tonight, that's the way I just gotta behave. Boy, if I were a lamp, I'd light. Or if I were a fan right away, if that's me, how do I feel? Little me with my quiet upbringing. Well, sure, all I could say is if I were a gate, I'd be swinging. And if I were a watch, I'd start popping my string. If I were a bell, I'd go ding dong, ding dong, ding.
Ask me how do I feel from this chemistry lesson I'm learning. Well, girl, all I can say is if I were a bridge, I'd be burning.
Yeah, I knew my morale would crack
from the wonderful way that you look. Girl, if I were a duck, I'd quack.
Or if I were a goose, I'd be
cooked. Ask me how do I feel, ask me now that we're fondly caressing.
Hey, if I were a savage, I know I'd be flashing my dressing. Or if I were a season, I'd surely be screaming. Or if I were a bed, I'd go ding dong, ding dong, ding.
If I were a bell, I'd be a ding-a-ling. Well, I'm a ding-a-ling anyway. I'm not a bell, but I'm a ding-a-ling. I'm Ronnie Allen talking to Julie Budd. This is a test for my listeners. I'm not going to tell you folks out there what the name of the song is. I'm only going to play initially the first few lines of the song. See if you can guess what the song is.
Shall I catch a shooting star?
come. Shall I bring it where you are? If you want me to, I will. You can set me any task, I'll do anything you ask. If you only love me still.
All right, everybody out there, shout. What was that song?
If You Love Me, Really Love Me.
Right, but I think you cheated, though. I don't know. Yeah, If You Love Me, Really Love Me, and that's the part that you may or may not be familiar with. Some recordings of that song leave out the verse entirely, but you do the verse first. I understand, Julie, that you like to do verses of songs.
It's kind of like, you know, putting on a dress but not wearing the shoes and the belt when you don't do the verse,
right.
You know.
Well,
it's like, where's the rest of the song?
We're done with the shoes and the belt, so how about the dress right now?
When at last our life on earth is through, I would share eternity.
Great song, by the way, co-written by the legendary Edith Piaf.
Yes.
And it had foreign lyrics. Did you ever do the foreign lyrics to that, or just the...
No, I never did it in French. I only did it in English.
Okay.
But it's a great theatrical piece.
Oh.
And a lot of the songs...
Wonderful song.
...on Pure Imagination are sort of direct descendants of the orchestrations that we do when we
right.
are in symphony.
And oh, by the way, K-Star had the big hit single of If You Love Me, Really Love Me. You know, Julie, people would not consider you a doo-wop singer, but how about this is going somewhere, trust me. How about a doo-wat singer? Have any idea what the doo-wat song is?
Sure, that's it. Don't mean a thing.
Oh, you got it, yes. Now, this is another side of Julie Budd.
This is our Duke Ellington moment.
It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. Do act, 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 do act. It don't mean a thing. All you gotta do is sing. Do act, 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 do act. Makes no difference if it's sweet or hot. Just give that rhythm everything you've got. It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. What good is melody? What good is music? If it ain't possessing something sweet. It ain't the melody, it ain't the music. There's something else that makes this tune complete. It does need a thing if it ain't got that sweet.
I love that. I love all those duets. Great.
Yeah, it's a great band on there, isn't it?
Oh, who's the piano player? Do you remember who's doing the piano on that?
The piano on that is one of two people. It's either Lee Musica.
Okay.
Or it's Teddy Rosenthal.
Okay. Fantastic band, fantastic performance. That covers Pure Imagination, but folks, there's so many other great songs. Sample the other songs as well as the ones we've just heard on Julie's website on the discography page. If You Could See Me Now, you know approximately what year that came out?
If You Could See Me Now came out in 2000. And by the way, when you just asked me about the piano,
yeah,
you know who that could also be? You know why I'm vacillating on the piano players is because we used three different guys on piano. It might be Frank Owens.
Multiple choice.
They're all great. They're all great. No, no, but we used all three of the guys on the CD, that's why. If You Could See Me Now, that was a lovely CD. There were a lot of wonderful pieces. There's a wonderful song on there called When a Piano Plays that Herb wrote.
Well, I was going to mention that because we were just talking about pianos, and since you mentioned it right now, I don't have to ask you who wrote it.
And also Herbie's playing on it. No multiple choice on that one.
Girl I used to be is gone, and now I'm left with just a memory. He always made me smile. He brightened all my disappeared by now, and with it all my dreams that never were somehow. He always was my friend in oh so many ways, and
is just amazing producer, arranger, musician.
He's got great ears.
And he worked very, very closely for many years with Bob Crewe. Did you know Bob Crewe, by the way?
Very well, sure.
Very well, okay.
And his brother Dan. They were just a great team, those two.
One of the songs on If You Could See Me Now is Weekend in New England. And
yes,
after I play a little bit of this song, I'm going to tell you something interesting about the lyrics. So anything you want to tell me about it? I know, of course, it's a Barry Manilow
Well, that one, actually, Teddy Rosenthal was on piano.
Oh, okay. There's going to be a surprise quiz after this interview, folks, and I'm going to ask you who all the piano players are, so you better hope you're writing it down. All right. Weekend in New England, Barry Manilow had the hit record of it. He didn't write it.
Yeah, that's by Randy Edelman.
Consider the title as you listen to a sampling of this recording by Julie Budd and see if you can tell me what word is never mentioned in the lyric.
Weekend nothing is clear, but thoughts of me holding you, bringing us near, and tell me when will our eyes meet? When can I touch you? When will this strong
that is not mentioned in the lyric at all is weekend, believe it or not. No, you never hear the word weekend. You hear New England.
That's right. Yeah,
I did
you're right.
Extensive research on this because I wanted to see the light, and that's the one other song we're going to play from this, I'm Beginning to See the Light, and that's an old standard. Several people have recorded that.
A lot of people have, and it's been handled a lot of different ways, too. I just heard a version with Ella Fitzgerald the other day. A lot of people have recorded Beginning to See the Light.
More CDs to sample the new classics, and you mentioned the song Roses and Rainbows. This was a re-recording of it?
That's a re-recording, and that was because my fans had just requested it on and on and on, and I just had to do it for them, and I was happy to do it. It was nice to hear it again. It felt fresh, you know?
Here I am, alone again, not at all like I thought that it would be. Guess I lost my way, seems like yesterday. Somebody promised me the moon. Somebody told me there'd be roses and rainbows. I only hope they'll get here soon. Seems I've been waiting here forever.
song, Roses and Rainbows, has been described by many as being your signature song. But I assume you have a few signature songs, actually.
That's the good news, right?
That's the good news. To have more than one.
That's right.
Sorry seems to be the hardest word. Elton John wrote it with Bernie Taupin.
Bernie Taupin, yeah.
Yeah. Are you a big Elton John fan that you decided to do this particular song?
Well, I like his work, first of all. And I think he sort of has a really good balance of musicality. One foot is in the commercial world and one foot is in the theater, you know. And somehow he really brings it together in a very contemporary yet classic way. I haven't heard another female version of it, so I recorded it. I hope he'll enjoy it if he ever hears it. I really do.
Okay, Elton, this is for you. Sorry seems to be the hardest word. He also wrote a song called Sad Songs Say So Much.
Yeah.
That's alliterative. Sad Songs Say So Much. Okay. One more song from the new classics, and I picked out Someone to Light Up My Life. There's another Light Up My Life song. A different one.
There's a great guitar player by the name of David Spinoza on that. You'll enjoy it because we have little solos with one another throughout that.
from the new classics, Someone to Light Up My Life. Well, we are about to get to the current CD. We're winding down this interview, and I hope you've enjoyed it, Julie.
I've loved it. You do your homework, and it's a pleasure, really.
Well, it's been a pleasure to find out so much about you. It's amazing how little I knew before I...
Glad that you enjoyed it.
Well, I knew about All's Quiet on West 23rd, and I knew what Herb in the past told me about you, but I had no idea that you had done symphony orchestras and have just been constantly working for 46 years.
I've been one of the luckiest lady singers in the industry, really, and I've enjoyed every minute of it.
Now, I know you're very busy doing all these shows. I guess there's a lot of rehearsals and everything, but somewhere you find time to teach music courses. Are they singing courses?
I call it the art of vocal technique. And the reason why I call it that is there is an art to everything that you do well. And vocal technique is very important because it's great to have a natural instrument. And in order to be special and different, yes, you need to have that. But if you don't have technique, you're not going to be able to stay in the business. You're not going to be able to survive the rigors of the industry. You won't. And if you get a tour, what eventually will happen if you're not well trained is you're going to be out of the tour more than you're in the tour. And so I do some master classes around the country, and I let these kids prepare work, and I critique it, and I talk to them a little bit about it. I tell them what I hear, and I ask them what their goals are musically, and we chat about it. And then here in New York, because I can't do it full-time because I have a busy schedule, but I do have just a handful of very specific and special students. And if they're preparing for something and they need me to step in there and help them.
The classes that you described initially, are they group classes? And
well, they're master classes, yes. If they need private work, I arrange that for them.
So you've done both group classes and some one-on-ones as well.
Correct.
Julie, your current CD is called They Wrote the Songs. Release date, April 2014.
Yes.
There's actually 7 tracks on the CD.
Even though the tracks say 7, there's 10 because the Newly medley is 8 minutes long.
And that's actually 4 separate songs.
Yes.
We're going to sample 3 different tracks on the CD. And the first one opens the CD, and it's called Home. And it's written by Charles Smalls.
Well, Charles was great. He wrote the score to the Broadway show The Wiz.
And, in fact, this song is from that hit Broadway show.
Maybe there's a chance I can go back now that I have some direction. It would sure be nice to be back home, where there's love and affection, and just maybe I can convince time to slow up, giving me enough time in my life to grow up, time to be my friend. In love like yours, like mine, like home.
There's a great song from The Wiz called Home. And the next one we're going to sample from your They Wrote the Song CD is Let Me Try Again.
You know what's interesting? You listen to all these CDs and what the history of them are. You know, I worked with Frank Sinatra, and after I worked with Frank, he started up again working with Paul Anka. Prior to that, he had done My Way and stuff like that.
Yes.
And then a few years later, after I had worked with him, he had released a song called Let Me Try Again.
Right, yeah.
And Let Me Try Again was originally in Europe. It was a big hit.
Uh-huh.
But then Paul Anka and Sammy Kahn put an American lyric to it. Uh-huh. And then Frank heard that song and recorded it, and it became a huge hit.
Which leads us up to the present time. And this was the case with Sorry Seems to Be the Hardest Word, which we heard a sample of earlier. You largely decided to record this one for a similar reason for recording that one.
I was thinking of all of the songs that I wanted to put on the CD. And the thing is, when I sort of looked back, and I didn't even plan it this way, I realized that a lot of the versions were never done by women. Let Me Try Again, I can't even think of another version by a woman. And all of these different songs that I did, so many of the versions, even some of the Anthony Newley pieces, a lot of them were male-dominated pieces, and we wound up, you know, recording it. And it was funny, because when I did Let Me Try Again, I was doing my research. What other women had recorded this? And I couldn't come up with anything, and I was like the only one that I can think of. So
yep.
That was my little tribute to Mr. Sinatra after working with him.
It was only self-deceiving to walk away from someone who means everything in life to you. You learn from every lonely day. I've learned and I've come back to stay.
Well, Julie, this has just been so much fun for me, and I can't thank you enough for agreeing to do this show with me. And as I told you privately, you have so many tracks on these CDs and so many stories. We could have done a mini-series, but for now, we'll settle for this retrospective sampling of where your career has gone. It's been an incredible career.
Thank you.
Is there anything you'd like to say to your fans out there listening to this
interview?
Well.
I wouldn't even have a career had it not been for my fans. I mean, you know, trends come and go in the music business, and sometimes you're hot and sometimes you're not. But had it not been for the people that go out and buy the tickets to my concerts and buy my CDs and are totally supportive and encouraging over the years, there really would not be any reason to do this if it had not been for all of the wonderful people who have supported me over the years. And all I can say is a heartfelt thank you to all of them.
Julie, we're going to close the show right now with, actually it's a medley of four songs. The first one is Who Can I Turn To, which is from the, everybody out there remember what Who Can I Turn To is from? What musical? Anthony Newley and Leslie Bricus. And if you said Stop the World, I Want to Get Off, you're wrong.
It's the
roar of the grease pain.
Yeah,
the roar
of
the grease pain.
Right.
The smell of the crowd. And then we're going to hear a little of What Kind of Fool Am I? That's the one from Stop the World I want to get off, as is Once in a Lifetime.
Yeah.
Almost as well known. Maybe What Kind of Fool probably is a little bit better known, but Once in a Lifetime is well known.
Well,
too.
Because What Kind of Fool Am I was covered by a lot of major artists like Tony Bennett and
Sammy Davis,
people like that.
Yeah, Sammy Davis.
And Sammy Davis, you know.
But also from Stop the World is Once in a Lifetime. And finally, we have If I Ruled the World, co-written by Leslie Bricus and Cyril Ornadell. And that's from the musical Pickwick. Julie, thank you again so very much. And
thank you, Ronnie. Thanks for having me on and for being so fastidious about this music. Gosh, you're terrific.
I got to look up, let's see, how do you spell that? Okay, say goodnight, Ronnie. Here's Julie closing the show.
Turn to when nobody needs me. My heart wants to know, and so I must go where destiny leads me. With you fell in love. It seems that I'm the only one that I have been thinking of. What kind of gal is this? An empty shell, a lonely cell in which this empty heart must dwell. Why can't I fall in love? And I don't give a damn. And maybe then I'll know what kind of fool a lifetime, just once in a lifetime, that wonderful moment when fate takes your hand. For this is my moment, my destiny calls me, and so it might be just once in a lifetime. I'm gonna do great things. If I ruled the world, every day would be the first day of spring. Every heart would have a new song to sing, and we'd sing of the joy every morning would bring. Yeah.
to Ronnie. Ronnie remembers. Ronnie remembers. Ronnie remembers.
Well, that's the show. And now, bonus tracks just for you. These are edited versions of two more Julie Budd recordings. From the CD, The New Classics, here's a song with words and music by Herb Bernstein, Little Boy of Mine.
Put your hand in mine, let me gaze into your eyes. You have made my whole world shine, little boy of mine. Smile for me and light my. Oh, what joy you bring to me. Mama will never go away, little boy of mine, little boy of mine. Since you came into my life, you've been everything I could never be. Share eternity. I love you now and always will, little boy of mine, little boy of mine.
Finally, from the CD, Pure Imagination, gonna pick up the tempo. You can snap your fingers and tap your toes to this one. Let's face the music and dance.
There may be trouble. But while there's moonlight and music and love and romance, let's face the music and dance. Before the fiddlers have fled, before they ask us to pay the bill, and while we still have a chance, let's face the music and dance. The moon, I'm in a different tune, and then there may be teardrops to shed, but while there's moonlight and music and love and romance, let's face the music and dance.